to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. It is Wednesday, July the 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and our topic tonight, ADHD. You can't go off to college with them, but we can. And with us in our virtual studio is Rob Todisco, who's the executive director of the Edge Foundation. We're going to jump into everything in detail in a minute, but a couple of reminders. One, the Attention Deficit Disorder Association Conference is around the corner, July the 18th to the 21st. If you haven't done so, go check that out at add.org. It's not too late to sign up. It's in Detroit this year. I know that I'm going to be here. I know that our guest, Rob, will be there and being presenting, so it's something you don't want to miss. Also, it's never too early to start planning for the CHAD conference, which this year is in the Washington, D.C. area, November 7th through the 9th. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. CHAD also had a regional conference in Dallas that was scheduled for May that has been rescheduled for September. They had some issues beyond their control. If you're in the Dallas area, you need to check that out by going to chadd.org. Also, something that's near and dear to Rob Hart and myself, both of us sit on the editorial committee of Attention Magazine, and they are going digital with their August edition. You'll actually be able to access it off the website, which is real exciting. You'll hear a little bit about that in one of our commercials that we'll run in the first break, but we typically have gotten in print, and now there'll be a digital version. So that's real exciting, and I think it's going to be a great addition to resources online. If you haven't checked it out, Attention Talk Radio sister station, Attention Talk Video. You can catch it at attentiontalkvideo.com. That's similar to this format, only in video, a little bit shorter. We interview experts on a weekly basis on topics that are near and dear to those with ADHD's heart, and we also have Attention Talk News, which is a subscription-based media with that you can go to attentiontalknews.com and subscribe to, and it will keep you current. And everything that's going on, the radio show, the video show, and along with some other guest writers, bloggers, et cetera. And so with that, I think that's all of our announcements. Again, tonight we have Rob Todisco. He's a frequent flyer on Attention Talk Radio and Attention Talk Video. We've had him on several times. In particular, we did a series of shows last February dealing a lot with ADHD and advocacy, both in school and in the juvenile justice system. But Rob is the executive director of the Edge Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization, and their mission is to provide specialized coaching for college students with ADHD. He has a law practice in New York, is a freelance writer, and a very good writer at that, I might add. He himself has been diagnosed with ADHD and is an avid runner, an 8-time marathon finisher, and has done a lot of using his coping mechanisms in running to actually help raise money for some really promising ADHD causes. Since his diagnosis, he's researched and written extensively on the topic. He also is a past member of the National Board of the Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, and is a current member and past member of CHAD's Public Policy Committee and former vice president of Attention Deficit Disorder Association. He's a frequent media resource on ADHD and disability advocacy and co-occurring conditions in the juvenile and criminal justice system. He's also been published in Attention Magazine and sits on the editorial board, which I mentioned just a second ago. He's also a legal expert columnist on Attitude Magazine, which we actually did a show about him in February, kicking things off about what amazing ADHD community asset he is, and he truly is that. Always a pleasure. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. I want to throw this out here. You know, the Edge Foundation has been a very big supporter of Attention Talk Radio, Attention Talk Video, and we really, really appreciate that. And it's not common that we kind of come on and talk about the details of some of our advertisers a little bit, but this is a little bit different. You guys are a nonprofit organization, and one of the things that you guys provide are coaches for college students. Rob, can you speak very briefly about the Edge Foundation and the coaches, and then we want to kind of start talking about the transition to college and some of the things that parents and students should be aware of, and then resources. So real quickly, just a little bit about the EDGE Foundation.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. We are a foundation, and we have a network of coaches, and we require a certain degree of training. They all have background executive life coach training, as well as a specialized course that is taught for us by Jody Sleeper Triplett at JST Coaching that specifically deals with adolescent issues, adolescents with ADHD. And essentially what we do is provide coaches. There are 110 coaches in our network. We match students with coaches to help them transition from high school to college. We even work with some middle school students.
Wow. And you got, so you provide those, you do those, so if somebody's going to college, you can, they can contact you and get a coach, but you also work with Shire, and you have a scholarship program. You want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. That's a wonderful program we've been doing for 3 years now. We're going into our fourth year. What it is Shire Pharmaceuticals has been an amazing support network for students that are transitioning. They have a program that has expanded from 25 students in our first year now to 60 students. And annually they pick a certain number of students. Now it's up to 60. The students that are selected get a $2,000 tuition scholarship for college, and also they get a full 10 months of coaching that's provided by the EDGE Foundation, and that is funded by Shire. So the students do not have to pay for the coaching. And they've been incredible in their unwavering support for the students.
It's a great, great, great resource. Rob, I don't have it written down. Do you have the website offhand for AMR listeners if they want to go learn more for the upcoming year?
Yes, it is ShireADHDScholarship.com.
And you go there, you've got to fill out some information, you have to make the application, and they whittle that stuff down, but again it's $2,000 in a year's or 10 months worth of coaching, and that's not confined just to new students. You can and it's not confined to college, I believe. It can be post primary or secondary, post high school, and you can get it when you're second or third year into college, right? Am I misrepresenting
you? It is all undergraduate studies. We're trying to get them to expand it to postgraduate studies, but it is all post-high school undergraduate studies, but it also includes vocational and training schools. So it's not limited to students going to college or community college. If your student is going to, say, DeVry for a trade school for vocational training, they are eligible for this program as well. The programming usually applications usually open sometime in October, and it stays open, the application process, until some date in the end of March, and then they announce the winners, and we match those students up with coaches. It's great. This is the first year that Shire Canada has also entered into the program, and so now we're international.
Awesome, awesome. Well, one of the focuses of this show kind of came about, Rob, you know, I'm in Tampa, and every year, I think it's like December the 20th, all of a sudden I get a bunch of phone calls from parents whose kids go to University of Tampa, go to Stetson, or go to University of South Florida. And what happened is, you know, they went through high school, and, you know, they were pretty good students. To get into University of Tampa and USF, I think you got to have like a 3.6 in SATs and like the 1150 or higher range. And so they all accomplished this. But I'm getting the phone calls because they went off to college, and all of a sudden they got C's, or they're on the verge of academic probation. And then at the sometime about May and June, I start to get the same phone calls from the same – well, not the exact same people, but I get these phone calls because a year's gone by and the students are struggling. I also get phone calls from kids that are in Tampa that are off at other schools, and they came back and you know – college just didn't turn out the way the parents hoped, and things are difficult. And the focus of today's show is I want to bring up that transition from high school to college is not so simple, especially for those ADHD. Can you comment on that from your perspective?
Sure. I think it's incredibly difficult for any adolescent. It's the first time they're going out on their own, and they're going from a structured environment in high school to an unstructured environment. But it is magnified, I would say, 100-fold for a student with ADHD. All of the executive functions that were being done outside of their body by the school in terms of, you know, they were required to be in school at a certain time. They were required to submit homework assignments. They were given a quiz every week or so. All of that resembles structure. And while the students don't like it at the time, when they go off to college into this unstructured environment, in addition to that, their parents aren't there anymore if they're away boarding at school, and what happens is they just kind of float around, and they're not getting the regular feedback that they were getting in high school. And so many times, unfortunately, the pattern that you described, Jeff, is exactly what we see, is that these students go into school, and they don't get any feedback until after maybe a midterm or a final, and in many cases, it's too late. And before they know it, they are on academic probation, or if they received a scholarship, they're at risk of losing their scholarship dollars, and now they need to scramble to do something dramatic to get them back in the game. And it's unfortunate. We are here for those students, but we like to try to reach those students beforehand to help them make the transition. You know, our motto is that, you know, no student should have to fail in order to get support, and that's why we're here.
That's awesome. And just real quick, I want to just for the parents out there, listen, let me tell you what this really looks like, okay? Because I've been in these situations, but the kid goes off to school, and the first day of class, he goes through and he gets the syllabuses, and that's not uncommon for many similar type things for many high schools. But what happens is the teachers will kind of talk about the syllabuses in class and say, you know, your homework is due next Tuesday or Thursday, and kind of whatever. But also off in college, is they pass out the syllabuses, and that's the last thing the teacher mentions of it. I know when I went to college the first semester I was there, there was a paper that was due 2 months afterward. The guy never said a word about it, walked in that day and said, you know, where are they? And without that reminder, I coached two kids in particular. So, you know, when they got there, they took their syllabuses and they never looked at it again until they started walking in and they were missing homework. That was a problem. Another one that's not uncommon, I find, is they go, particularly many of those with ADHD can be very, very social, and they'll rush. And they get caught up in a fraternity or a sorority, and that's really, really, really exciting, and they kind of get all excited. And what they'll do is they'll walk into their first class or two, first month, and they'll hear a lot of material that they've heard in the past. For example, maybe you go to statistics, and the first thing they talk about is mean, median, and mode, which every, you know, most of the kids have kind of covered, and they go, this is kind of a piece of cake, and they don't really get into it. And then all of a sudden, they're starting to get into standard deviations and something a little bit more deeper that maybe they hadn't covered, and all of a sudden they're kind of in over their head, and they're playing catch-up, and they've made some commitments in some other places, and then the spiral starts to spin out of control. And quite honestly, what I found a lot of times is once they start to get it, they get into trouble, they begin to get overwhelmed, and then they just stop showing, they stop giving up, and basically the parents are the last to know about it. And I'm sharing these stories, you know, these are specific stories of people that I've worked with. You know, Rob, I know you don't coach anybody. Have you heard any stories that are similar to that?
Exactly. That is exactly the same type of profile that we get as well. And what's unfortunate is in many cases, the parents, the mothers and fathers that are sending these kids off to school, know that this is a potential danger, and they are very concerned about sending these kids out there with no structure. And legally, as an attorney, I can tell you that, you know, the parents are out of the loop in terms of getting notifications from school. These kids are considered an adult under the law, and the parents are kind of outside of what's going on, and many of them are concerned about sending these kids off to school, which is why, and I think this is perfectly in keeping with the theme of your show, one of the ads we actually run in Attention Magazine is you can't go off to college with them, but we can. A coach is something that the student can access anywhere. And so it's in many cases something that's very important for a parent to know, that there is someone working with your son or daughter to provide structure, support, accountability, and help them building it for themselves. It's very important, because without it, in many cases, like you said, these kids will spiral out of control. And in terms of timing, there's one other issue that we get a lot of, but I think is part of what you're talking about, Jeff, and that is that these kids, when they leave mom and dad, this is their time to strike out on their own. And one of the things that they've often been frustrated by is a lot of them feel that ADHD is a label that their parents kind of placed on them. When they go to college, the law requires them to self-report their disability at the disability office and provide documentation and ask for accommodations. And these kids are reluctant to do it. They just want to fit in with everyone else, and they don't want to ask for help. And so what happens is once those grades start coming in and they're in danger of failing or losing a scholarship or something, in addition to the calls that you're getting, what we see is these disability offices get flooded with students who are in red alert, where they're in danger of losing something, that they're at their last leg at the university, and they need to do something. And the whole premise behind what we're doing is to prevent the situation where their back's against the wall like that.
And I think you put that very, very well. And everybody, I want to be kind of clear out there is the Edge Foundation is, again, it's a nonprofit, and they do offer coaches. Also, Rob is very, very, very involved with, I guess, the board of Edge Foundation to go out and raise money philanthropically to actually provide funds to kind of help offset the cost of coaching for certain students in need. And I want to emphasize that they are a nonprofit and they're really advocating about this because the need for what used to be the need for like a coach or a tutor or something as a transition is really becoming very much a requirement as schools become more competitive, more independent, et cetera. So we want to kind of throw that out there. But one other point that I wanted to kind of highlight before we kind of go to break here, Rob, is as we've talked about, you and I have talked about this a little bit before, the average cost of college is, it really depends on kind of where you go. If you're private school, it's a lot more. If they're commuting, then maybe it's a less. But as I understand it, the average cost is about $23,000 a year. So if you were to send your kid off to college for 4 years, we're talking $60,000, $70,000 investment. And certainly that, going to some classes and learning stuff is good. But if they go the first year and you pay $23,000 and they don't go back to school and there's a problem, it's kind of, you really kind of lost the money in the investment. And so one of the things that to me that's kind of important is that if you're going to send your kids off to school, a coach or tutor or somebody working with them is a little bit of an insurance policy. Can you speak to that?
Yes, absolutely. And I will tell you from going through the application process with my own son, I can tell you that the numbers that I was looking at were much higher than that. And what is a concern to me is twofold. One is the actual dollar investment that parents are prepared to make, $50,000, $60,000. And if the student fails out of the school, there's two things that happen. One is obviously that's money that is lost. The other thing that I think is even more of a problem is when that student fails out of that school or is asked to resign from the university, what that does to their future in terms of their prospects to get into another school. So the cost is not just the dollar and cents cost to the parent. It is also the cost in terms of the damage that a bad transcript can place on that student's future. And so what we believe is that for a small investment, a coach, among other modes of coping with ADHD, is really a solid way to protect not only your financial investment, but your student's future, really.
And also, when you were saying that, I couldn't agree with you more, but also, you leave the high school setting and you go off into the real world college, and if you struggle with that, you have the issue of the transcripts, but also you're starting to deal in self-esteem issues, and you're starting to talk about careers and stuff like that. And so it is that time of life, that transition away from the nest, to me, that's really such a big deal.
I think you're right.
Rob, I want to kind of go to a break. For those that want to learn more about the Edge Foundation, go to edgefoundation.com. There's a contact button there. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. I don't know why we keep getting that, but it's edgefoundation.org. And there's also, if you go to Edge Foundation, I think it's / is it find a coach?
Yes.
So edgefoundation.org and find a coach. You can actually go there and you actually can look through and look for some coaches that are there. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, one of the things I want to do is I pre-recorded an interview with an individual who's the executive director at Muskegon University, and I want to play this because this is actually a university that's doing something very similar that's actually at that university. And then when we come back from that break, we'll talk about that a little bit, Rob. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Breaking news. Chad introduces the new digital edition of Attention Magazine, starting with the August issue and continuing with each bi-monthly issue. The digital edition is available for easy reading on www.chad.org. Through collaborative leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support, Chad and Attention Magazine work to provide science-based information about ADHD to parents, educators, and professionals who treat the disorder, the media, and the general public. When you advertise in Attention Magazine, your advertisement that includes a website address will automatically have a link to your website. There is no additional fee for your digital edition advertisement. It's free.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here talking about the transition from high school to college and the fact that you can't go off to school with them, but others can. Before the break, we were talking to Rob Didisco, the executive director of the Edge Foundation, and some of the things that they're doing. They're providing coaches and trying to make coaches available to people that really could use these in this transition. But Rob's not the only one out there that's beating this drum. Dr. Eileen Henry is the executive director of the Center for Advanced Learning at Muskegon University. It's an accredited independent college in New Concord, Ohio. For scheduling reasons, I wasn't able to actually have her on for this particular show, but we did an interview with her before this that I'd like to play. And notice she's just at the school, but notice some of the things that she's talking about because I think this is a real important space. So we'll run this this segment real quick, and then Rob and I will be back with you. So here we go.
I'm here with Dr. Eileen Henry from Muskegon University. Dr. Henry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And I pronounced it right. It's Muskegon. Muskegon.
That's right. Muskegon University in New Concord, Ohio. It's in the southeastern corner of Ohio, about an hour east of Columbus.
Awesome. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about your organization and some of the things that you do. In the prior conversation leading up to this, you and I had talked about you and the organization kind of learning like some coaching techniques, and you've got some consultants on hand to help students like those with ADHD when they're making that transition from high school into college. Can you tell us about it a little bit?
Yes, when the student comes the first year to college, there are a lot of developmental issues and awarenesses that need to be developed, not just the skills of studying and showing up and learning. There are many more kinds of skills that need to be developed when students make a transition, the emotional, social. So it's more than just academic knowledge that needs to happen as a student's making a transition. They need to have fun. They need to make friends. They need to orient themselves, understand where they are from a sociological perspective, the institution that they're in. So there's a lot more to it, who the people are, what the rules are. So it's a lot more when you're transitioning to college than just academic learning. And for students who have ADD, these become particularly interesting navigational issues.
And that transition, you said it so well. There's emotional change, social change, understanding the new rules, managing yourself away from home without mom and dad and some of the organizational structures that you might have kind of grown up with. My understanding is that you guys have some learning consultants on hand, and that when a student comes there, you can kind of purchase access to these learning consultants to help that student in transition. Did I accurately represent that?
Yes, I think that you did. The point to, I think, be made is that learning strategies, even if they're embedded in course content, are not enough for students who have ADD when they're transitioning to college. I have found that it's not enough or the right kind of structure for them. Many students have even come to me and said, look, I'm drowning in these strategies. It's not that I don't know these strategies. I understand how to tell time. I understand the use of an alarm clock. I know I'm supposed to be studying. I know I'm supposed to have a planner. I could tell you how to do planning. It's just that I don't do them. Those things don't work for me. I'm not there. That's not how I think. That's not what I do. And yet the way maybe they're doing it isn't quite effective either. So instead of what I say kind of hammering away over and over and over and kind of making them figure out the alarm clock or the calendar issue, we just bypass that and we talk to them about what is working. So the learning consultants have about 3 hours a week with each student, and they talk to them about what is the student's strength, what does the student want, what are they trying to accomplish, what are they willing to do to get it, what strengths are they bringing to the situation. And then when the student could sometimes even forget that the next day, because this is kind of new thinking, positive thinking, focusing on what's working, appreciating the good things. These ADD students frequently are not used to being spoken to or with it like that. So it takes a few minutes for them to identify what it is that they're bringing that could be helpful to them, that has worked in high school, that could be helpful to them in college. Sometimes people maybe need to have physical exercise or movement, and they just can't, they think their parents maybe say, we don't want you to be involved in sports because you need to focus on your studies, when in reality that student needs not only the structure of the sport, but the physical activity and the social component of it as well. So we would then talk to the student about what works. So it's very individualized and personalized about what is it that the student needs and how we can provide it. If we have what's called a 3x3 program that might be useful. What we think students who are transitioning need to know, and their parents, as well as learning consultants, those three parties need to be on the same page with a common and foundational knowledge about what is ADD, a common language with which to talk about it, and common tools with which to manage it.
Your school has about 1,500 enrolled students. Is that accurate?
Yes, and about 130 of them have either ADD or a combination of LD with ADHD.
Mm-hmm. And your 16, you call them learning consultants. They're really kind of like coaches to me, because they're not just talking about academics and learning, because you are talking about scheduling and stuff that works. There's about 10% of the population are using these 16 consultants. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
And for people who go to your school to get access to it, they pay an extra fee to have access to these people, right?
Yes, it's about $3,800 a semester, and you get you get an hour of, we'll call it, tutoring per class per week.
Okay. And what's powerful here, one of the reasons why I want to have you on is there's so many, it's like December the 20th, and then sometimes over the summer as a coach, I get all these phone calls from parents whose kids are going to the University of South Florida or University of Tampa or Stetson because they were doing well in school, in high school, and they graduated, maybe with honors or whatever, or the Eagle Scout, the whole thing. And all of a sudden, after the first semester, they're almost on academic probation because they went off to school and that safety net wasn't there. And I know that college is an expensive time. You got tuition and room and board and everything goes off. But that extra cost of hiring a coach or sending your adolescent to a school like yours, Eileen, I think paying that extra fee, it's like an insurance policy to kind of help them through that transition to learn those life skills to maximize the tuition. Because after all, you can pay tuition for 2-3 years, and if they don't get their diploma, they learn some stuff, but they still have a diploma, so it's not wasted money, but you didn't really protect your investment. And so to me, what's powerful is these types of organizations, if you have an ADHD child and you send them off to college, it's worth protecting your investment by spending a little bit more to help them out. With the way I've described that, Dr. Henry, that's what I see in this. Is that a little bit of the philosophy of you in the school?
Yes, that's really well put, Jeff. I think it's gone from these programs being, and even coaching, or the programs that are offered within colleges, being a safety net to really being a necessity. They're no longer just a safety net. They're necessary for these students because the price is so high of college, and because people, I don't think, are so much valuing anymore just being able to get the student over the crisis of not having the next paper done or not turning something in or not being able to figure out the library. That's no longer enough for support programs to offer students. What the students now, I think, should be given and offered is long-term growth opportunities to understand themselves not only as learners, but what are their strengths, what are their passions, what do they need to put in their niche in order to succeed so their environments can pull them forward. And these things are now necessary for students who have ADD. So you could say, all right, the first semester, yes, it can be about the GPA. So we don't want to, we want to help students understand how many courses to take and what kind of courses to take based on what their interests are, based on who they are and how they operate best. But you don't want to start the semester off or the year off with having low GPAs because of a decision that could have easily been changed by taking one too many courses or by overestimating your interest in something, because then it's just too hard to recover from a low GPA.
Yep.
Not only that, it makes the student feel badly about themselves, and then they don't want to try so hard. So we, so part of it is also helping students figure out what courses to take in which sequence and to understand why, so that when they leave the institution, they're saying, I succeeded and here's why. They're not just saying, oh, something happened to me and it was good. Or they can say,
absolutely,
this didn't work out and here's why, so that they start to develop what they need to have in their environment in order to succeed. And then when they go out for jobs and into the world, they can continue to look for these things in different environments. So they're not like what I would call bouncing around saying, well, that didn't work or this situation didn't work. They can have more control and mastery over what's happening to them and understand what they need in order to succeed in a very mindful way.
So just to wrap this up a little bit just from a time perspective, but what I just kind of hit me is they're going off to college, and by paying this little extra tuition that your people are working with them to help them customize life skills. With an education, they're getting in the process outside of the home environment to make that transition, which I think is very valuable. Dr. Henry, for those that want to learn more about you and the organization, the website is www.muskingum.edu. Is that right?
Very well done.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Dr. Henry, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Great talking to you.
Everybody, again, that was Dr. Eileen Henry, the Executive Director at the Center of Learning at Muskegon University. Real quickly, again, we're going to run to a break. I'll come back. I want to talk to Rob about this. And as we go, think about this. There's a lot of what she said. It's really mirroring a lot of what Rob has said. And I really wanted to kind of highlight this because there's different facets, but that notion of that safety net is really becoming a necessity is a big deal. So, well, more comments to come, but we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Breaking news. Chad introduces the new digital edition of Attention Magazine, starting with the August issue and continuing with each bi-monthly issue. The digital edition is available for easy reading on www.chad.org. Through collaborative leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support, CHAD and Attention Magazine work to provide science-based information about ADHD to parents, educators, and professionals who treat the disorder, the media, and the general public. When you advertise in Attention Magazine, your advertisement that includes a website address will automatically have a link to your website. There is no additional fee for your digital edition advertisement. It's free.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Rob Todisco. Before the break, we were listening to a pre-recorded interview we did with Dr. Eileen Henry. Now, in listening to that, Rob, because you hadn't actually heard that before, to me, what she really articulated very well is that the safety net is really becoming a necessity, and there's so much more to going off to school than just academics. It's the social, it's the emotional, and those are the same things that when we talk about coaches and Edge Foundation coaches, I mean, it's all the same thing. That and some more. You want to comment on some things that she said that really made a lot of sense to you?
Yeah, there were a couple of things. One is the fact is that, you know, one of the things I think that she said that really kind of resonated with me was that, you know, you can tell these students to use a planner or use a calendar, and many of them know this, but the fact is that the way they process information isn't always conducive. They know what they're supposed to do. It's actually getting to find a way where they can use something is really the more difficult situation. What a coach really does is work with them on how they process information and what might work, what can we try. And one of the beauties of coaching, and I guess what the type of service that this school provides, also is very flexible based upon the student. And I think one of the things that was inherent in what she was saying, what she didn't actually articulate, that I just kind of wanted to add, was that it's really important for parents to learn all they can about ADHD and to define some terms and, you know, develop a knowledge of ADHD. But the most important piece of understanding ADHD is how it impacts your child, because it's very specific and it can be very different from how it might impact another student. And that's really what we're talking about in terms of life skills. When you look at these students, they're going out on their own. They're going out into the world as adults. It's not just about academics. It's about balancing their social lives with their academic lives. It's about being at home, away from home for the first time. Are they getting enough sleep? Are they eating properly? Are they taking care of themselves? And all of that impacts their academics. So parents, you know, kind of tend to think, you know, when they go off to college, I just hope they get good grades. But they're really going off into the world as adults. And that's why a coaching model is really a life model. And that's what's important, I think.
I let's just slow down here for a second, because what you said is just words, but it's everything. We've talked about accommodations on Attention Talk Radio, another show. The notion is that employers are really good at physical disabilities. They're not so good at cognitive disabilities. And one of the key things in that is to understand how ADHD manifests in you specifically, so you can co-create these things with the employer. You and I have done some shows about IEP plans in Section 504 and the need to understand your child's ADHD and be able to advocate and co-create these things. What is powerful for me here is to reiterate, it's important in this process for these kids to begin to understand their ADHD to be able to manage it and kind of co-create it. So, Rob, while you said that, and it was actually brilliant, I have to reiterate it because it's like the secret to it all. It's such a huge deal.
Yeah, it is. And I think one of the things that the doctor was saying on the phone that's really important is to develop those words, those terms, and they should really be to the extent that you both feel comfortable using them. And what's going to happen, I think, is that the more you have a dialogue with your son or daughter about their ADHD and how it impacts them specifically, that is going to be put them in a position where they would feel more comfortable, or should I say less uncomfortable, in going into a disability office at a college and specifically asking for accommodations, which is what the law requires. And the reason is because they understand their disability. They know how ADHD impacts them because presumably it's something that you fostered in the home. And when they get there, they'll know what their needs are and be able to articulate them. And the law, as we've discussed before, Jeff, requires the student to come in and ask for accommodations. And it's really, it's their burden. So you really want to put your student, your son or your daughter, in a position where they understand their own disability and are in a position to advocate for themselves.
Rob, this has been kind of invaluable. Just a few things that jumped out that are actually striking me that are new. One, going back to, my older son just turned 18 yesterday, and I began to realize it's great. He can go to the doctors by himself. I don't have to go with him because he can do it, particularly for routine stuff. But I also began to realize because of HIPAA, now I'm out of the loop. And when he goes off to school, out of the loop. And I didn't really think of it that perspective, but as a parent, when you send your kids off into college and they're over 18, that information goes to you and it doesn't come directly to you like it in some other places. So number one, you're out of the loop. Number two, I really liked that notion is not having somebody there for that transition is really not necessarily a safety net. It's really kind of a necessity. And what you had described is you need to know your own individual ADHD and the kid needs to advocate it is such a huge deal, not just in this transition in life. So that brings me to the most fundamental part of this show, because everybody listening out there can say, Jeff, it's easy. You're spending my money left and right. It's cost me money to go out and do these coaches, but one of my questions is how much is it going to cost you not to buy that insurance policy? And I know, Rob, we've talked about this. You get some phone calls from some people every once in a while, and they take a look at it, and I'm not trying to minimize that there's a cost, but at the same time, what's it costing you not to do these things? Because it's about academic success. It's about career success. It's about moving forward in self-esteem. That's from my perspective. Rob, what are your thoughts on some of this? And again, everybody, I'm not trying to spend some money, but I'm actually just trying to go the other side. What's the potential cost for you not to make that investment?
Well, here's the thing. We talked about the monetary cost. We've talked about the cost of their future in terms of what their transcripts look like. But in terms of what a lot of parents, especially parents that don't have ADHD, often don't see is that this disorder so permeates their sense of self-esteem. And one of the things we know is that students with ADHD have a very low frustration tolerance. So if they're not getting it, they will shut down. And what that does to their sense of self-esteem, not only in college, but in picturing themselves as adults out in the world when they kind of check out, is really a disaster waiting to happen. I realize that coaching services and medication and all other supports cost money, but when it comes to a student's sense of self-esteem and their future and their confidence in their ability, can you really afford not to? Is the question I think you have to ask. And on a lighter side, the goal of any good coach should be to get fired. This is not to develop structure, support, and accountability for your son or daughter. This is to help them build it on their own. This is the classic example of catch a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach a man to fish, yep, and he eats for a lifetime. So, coaching is not something where it manages the disability as long as it's being done. This is something that they can take with them, they can work with, and develop skills, and it's also talent-centered. It's really important when self-esteem is at issue that you understand that this is a talent-driven, talent-based model. And you know, the ability to show them that they have value and inherent talents is so incredibly important when it comes to someone with ADHD. And I'm saying that from my own personal experience.
I'm Rob, thank you very much, because there's so much that you said in there that is really kind of such a big deal. A few shows to think about. I did a show with Dr. Barkley about a month ago, that's June of 2013, on the gift-curse debate. And actually in that show, I actually kind of talk about some of the challenges that I've had with my dyslexia and learning disability and the moving forward. And I had very positive self-esteem because of an athletic background that enabled me to forge to kind of move forward, to kind of latch on, really kind of works for me. And I know as a coach, at the end of my work with somebody, we actually go through what we call a completion call, and we begin to write down a list of everything that works. The idea is to make like a user manual of sorts. So 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road when they start to have problems, they go back to these things that we fundamentally know always work for them and helps them to advocate for themselves. So in summary, that notion is coaches are there to coach themselves out of a job, ultimately, is a very, very, very important point. Rob, before we wrap this up, any last comments or thoughts you want to share?
I just wanted to add that at the ADA conference in Detroit in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing a presentation expanding on our topic right here today on transition issues for high school and college students with ADHD. I'm also doing a session on the redirection of youth with ADHD away from the criminal and juvenile justice systems, which I think is another important issue, and just a general plug for conferences in general. One of the reasons we call this a disability community is because there's a tremendous sense of comfort in knowing that you're not alone. And many of these organizations have wonderful websites with experts and written information and studies, and that's fantastic. But going to these conferences, you will meet members like yourself, and that really is the lifeblood of these organizations, whether it's ADA or CHAD or COPA or any of the other disability organizations. If you can find your way to go to one of them, it's really very important to know that you're not in this alone.
And I have to tell you, last year at the San Francisco CHAD meeting, I did some interviews with some people there, and they were coming out, they were visiting for the first time, and the first-timers, they all, one of the things that came out, it's I found my tribe, and being able to go around and meet people in the struggles was very uplifting to them, very beneficial, and very educational for them. And so, Rob, that's an excellent thought, or excellent comment. Again, everybody, if you want to learn more about the Edge Foundation and Rob, go to edgefoundation.org. And then I also kind of looked it up while we were talking. To go look up coaches at Edge Foundation, go to edgefoundation.org/schools/ADHD-friendly-colleges, C-O-L-L-E-G-S. And so with that, Rob, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks again for giving me a forum, Jeff.
It's always a pleasure. Everybody, we hope to see you in Detroit. If you're there, come up, say hi to Rob or myself. Also, we'll be at the CHAD conference in Washington, D.C. If you can make that, come say hi to us. We'll both be there. And with that, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.
Thank you.